Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In 1975, the former Portuguese colony of East Timor was in turmoil as Portugal pulled out and the neighbouring giant Indonesia threatened on the border. Five Australian-based TV journalists, including New Zealander Gary Cunningham, were in the Timorese town of Balabo covering events. They were executed by Indonesian troops to prevent them reporting. It's their story, long denied and covered up by the Australian government and ours, that Robert Connolly tells in his remarkable film, Balabo. Robert's with us now.
My country is in grave danger. There is a story to tell and no one is telling it.
You need somebody younger.
Your country already sent young journalists, five of them.
We sit here in Balabo and wait for an attack which may not happen at all. The buildings here are deserted. We spoke to one soldier today who believes that a potion given to him by his family...
Now, this film tells a true story. Why make it as a drama and not a documentary? What can you do with one and not the other?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that I kind of pondered early on when the story kind of grabbed a hold of me and I had to tell it. But, you know, personally, if I think of a film like The Killing Fields, which is one of my favourite films, you know, it documents what happened in Cambodia under Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge in a different way to a documentary. It takes the audience onto the killing fields of Cambodia. You feel an emotional journey that's very different to a documentary, which may scrutinise the facts but not have such a human dimension in terms of leading the audience. And that's what I've always loved about films that deal with history. So they're fictional versions of historic events, you know, and I think that kind of amazing experience for an audience in this film, for example, you know, to go with Roger Reist into a country that you've never seen before. We filmed in the real country, you know, to go on this kind of epic journey is part of what cinema can offer. So I chose that path.
You did do a lot of research, though. You did find out a lot about the people the film was about, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I felt this incredible weight of responsibility making the film, not only to the families of the Balabo Five journalists who were killed, but also to the people of East Timor and to tell their story. And it was like sometimes overwhelming weight of responsibility. You know, throw into that the fact that the coroner in Australia was investigating the deaths of the Balabo Five at the same time. So I've got, you know, it's in the courts at the same time. And so I decided in the film, you know, there's two threads in the film, and one is the story of these young journalists. And that thread I decided to be pretty forensic about. You know, I thought, you know, I've really got to kind of depict what happened as best we know from the investigations. Whereas I had a bit more fun with the Jose Ramos Horta and Roger Reese story.
Yeah, he comes across as a bit of a scamp, doesn't he, Horta?
It was amazing to go to East Timor and be making a film that deals with the current president as a young man, you know, and I met him in his presidential home. It's very humble. He's quite a fascinating character. And the first thing he said to me was, I was thinking George Clooney should play me. and he spent most of the time early on just trying to make sure I got someone good-looking enough to play him. But, you know, he is an incredible figure in history, really. You know, Nobel Prize winner. You know, he led his country to freedom. You know, a great triumph of that. And spent 24 years at the UN in exile. I mean, it's an amazing story. And he gave us the keys to the country. I mean, we couldn't have made the film without that. It would have been impossible. You know, the Timorese army would turn up in remote places and all dress up as Indonesian soldiers and help us reproduce these battle scenes and, you know, amazing. So, yeah, Horta was quite a character.
I am offering you full access to my country to tell our story.
Why, they ask, are the Indonesians invading us? That's all they want, for the United Nations to care about what is happening here.
In your own way, you had the same assistance that the journalists didn't, you know, 25 years previously.
I know. 25 years. Oh, that was part of the method of making it, was exactly that. You know, I tried to shoot the whole film chronologically, and so when the young actors flew into Dili for the first time, I got them in costume straight away. 20 minutes later, I was filming the scenes of the journalists arriving. We followed the same path. We drove in a similar car. We actually went to Balabo and filmed in the 400-year-old Portuguese fort that the journalists had filmed from. It was very moving for everyone, but it was partly trying to do what you're saying, you know, trying to find the parallels between how we were making it and what happened to get that bit of magic into the filmmaking?
What was it? I mean, this is the film is based on a, or the screenplay is based on a book. Was it reading that book that made you want to write the movie, make the movie?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. Reading Jill Jolliffe's book. I mean, she was a young journalist in 75 up there. Amazing story. And another friend of mine who wrote my graduating short film from film school is the character of Tony Minatti, the ABC journalist in it. You know, he and I became friends. But you know what I think ultimately happened? I went there. I was intrigued. I was interested. I was horrified. The deaths of these men. Governments did nothing about it. You know, what happened? So I went to East Timor, and it was actually East Timor getting under my skin. Like, I couldn't let it go. Like, there were points where this film tried so hard not to get made, I can't tell you. You know, right down to Ramos Horta having an assassination attempt just before we headed up there, you know. It was, you know, just when I was trying to convince everyone how safe it would be to film there. But it was East Timor, I think, and the people of East Timor. They have a kind of an optimism in the face of adversity that I think is quite contagious. And I... You know, once I started to shape the film around the idea of how do I tell the story of the 200,000 Timorese that died, the killing fields on our doorstep, I really couldn't let go of the film.
One thing I thought, I mean, perhaps I didn't think they were killed for being journalists watching your interpretation of the film, but perhaps they weren't saved by being journalists. They were just, you know, everyone was being killed there. Was there actually evidence that that was specifically why they were killed and they would have been saved if they were just random white people?
Yeah, it's amazing what's happened since the film came out, because we weren't, it's one of those things you're not exactly sure, was it just because they were there, they were journalists? But We've had screenings in Indonesia recently that are illegal screenings. It's been banned in Indonesia. The Indonesian Journalist Association's been having screenings. And a military figure that was in Balabo, an Indonesian military figure that was in Balabo in 75, went to one of the screenings and had a crisis of conscience and came out after the screening and for the first time said, "We killed them. We killed them because they were journalists. If they got the truth out, it would have..." And it was like, it was stunning to think that the film had somehow prompted this, but it kind of confirmed what you're saying. You know, it's like the conjecture is now a bit more solidified that they were identified as journalists and killed for it.
I want to find out what happened to them, why it happened to them, and who did it to them.
And all you care about is these five journalists.
But if I find out what happened, it's going to be on the front page.
What impact has the film had on the governments that have a stake in this whole affair? Your government, our government, the British government. Has it moved them in any way?
It's hard to know. I know the film has, in Australia, had quite a lot of impact already. It's a very dark spot for Australia. Our Prime Minister at the time had, you know, approved with Suharto the invasion, so it's, you know, terrible situation. But 4 weeks after the release, the federal police announced, for the first time in 35 years, a war crimes investigation, which is currently undergoing kind of all of the necessary steps. I mean, it's staggeringly for the families that a war crimes investigation is happening. And we were invited to have a screening in Parliament House in Canberra, which I couldn't believe. You know, it's a dark spot for the Labor Party. You know, it's one of the blots on the Whitlam government's history. I was disappointed that the Indonesian government banned it, because, you know, if you go on the Twitter sites, and I mean, the Indonesian people are really technologically kind of engaged with this story. There's a whole generation of Indonesian people that want to know what happened in their past. I mean, these are events 35 years ago. It's kind of like banning a film in 1980 that deals with the last year of World War II. I mean, it's a historic event, you know, and Ramos Horta did say to me once that, you know, he said, "It's not for us to bang the Indonesians over the head about this. There will be a time when a generation of Indonesians will want to know about their past." And that seems to be happening. And I guess I'm here to show it in New Zealand and to spread the word here. So, you know, it would be good to show it in the government here. We'll have a release in the UK in August, I think. And certainly, you know, I'd love to. I mean, with David Putnam, he's actually in Parliament there. He produced The Killing Fields. I'd love to have a screening for all the UK parliamentarians as well.
That would be fabulous. It's a nice little balance there, isn't it?
That's right.
It's a beautifully shot film. I mean, part of the film is, I mean, it's all set in 1975, but part of the film is actually graded or made to look quite different. Tell me how you managed to achieve that.
Yeah, it was a real thing for me that I needed to make the audience kind of lose themselves in the period drama. So, you know, I did all sorts of digital tests and everything, and it came down to getting some old cameras, some old lenses from the 70s and taking them with us and shooting on 16mm film like the guys did. And I tell you what, it added something about the process of making it that was quite exciting. You know, here we were, you know, in this remote place with these cameras. My cinematographer, with all the modern trappings around him, said that he learnt just how good those cameramen were back then, that they got that footage out. You know, some of that footage that Gary Cunningham got out of the ships off the shore. I mean, this is incredible. These guys in their mid-20s in a war zone, you know, getting this footage out. And I think, you know, it just gives it maybe a bit of authenticity or something that... And we were able to hide in the film some of the real footage that those guys shot too, kind of because we'd matched the look.
We could sort of tell, I could sort of tell, mainly because of what we saw, that there was maybe some actual footage snuck in there.
Yeah. It's a nice... I've always loved that, watching a film where you get a little glimpse of the real... I mean, I like cinema that takes me to somewhere I've never been before too, whether it be a time in history or a country, you know.
Well, it's a great film, and it's out in New Zealand next week.
It is, yeah, next Thursday.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time.
Well done.
Lovely to talk to you, Vaith. Thank you.
They know you are here, Roger, because your country told them you are here.
I can see burning in the streets. I can see shelling from the ships off the coast.
But you know who did kill those five men? Okay, they had the courage to come when no one else did.
Robert Connolly there, and Balibo opens in New Zealand cinemas next Thursday. And if it sounds like a hard watch, it's not. It's just a good movie. After the break, The Young New Zealander of the Year and Camp Alohum.